Welcome to the Millions Were Made podcast. I'm your host and Forbes featured business advisor, Jessica Marks. I invite you to join me as I dive into powerful conversations with multi-million dollar founders. Together, we will uncover their secret strategies, learn from real life case studies, and gain actionable advice to skyrocket your entrepreneurial success. This podcast is for the 1% who have surpassed the $1 million mark and for those of you who are ready to join us. Let's get started. On today's episode of Millions Were Made, we have special guest Rachel Moore. She is a former nurse practitioner turned influencer and now has built multiple companies, including a $10 million real estate portfolio where she teaches other founders how to do the same. We cover so much in today's episode, and I can't wait to share with you her insights on what brands like yours should be looking at when they partner with affiliates or influencers in their marketing. Welcome back to the Millions Were Made podcast. I am thrilled to have Rachel Moore on the show today to share her incredible story. I love how everyone we interview never started off saying, I want to be a business owner. I want to be an entrepreneur. She actually is a nurse practitioner turned influencer, multi-million dollar earner, and then developed a $10 million real estate portfolio. Welcome to the show, Rachel. Can you share a story of how you were able to accomplish all three of those huge milestones in your life and what that story looks like?
Thank you for having me. I'm excited. I'm going to meet you this year in person. So I was a nurse practitioner. I had two babies and I actually had a two-month-old and my husband went to rehab for heroin addiction. So while he was there, when he got back, I picked up hobbies of trying to fix up our house without any money. And that's when I discovered Pinterest. Because we didn't have any money left at that point. And so I was picking up furniture on the side of the road. This is back in the day when chalk furniture was a thing. I was kind of just with things I would find on the side of the road. And that's when I discovered blogs. So I didn't even own my own computer. I would use my husband's laptop when he got home from work and go on Pinterest and then go on YouTube and figure out how to make a website. So I started a blog called Pinteresting Plans at the beginning of 2016. And my goal was by the time my younger son, who was an infant, was in preschool, I wanted to be able to make enough income from this website that I wouldn't have to return to 40 hours a week. I was working 20 hours a week as a nurse practitioner. So within about a year, I got out of the red on that business. I decided probably about 4 months in that flipping furniture was a harder way to get content out when I had two kids at home with me. So I started sharing outfit ideas and discovered Like to Know It, which was a way to monetize Instagram fashion posts. So then within 2 years, that business was becoming pretty profitable. I was making about as much doing the blog as I was as a nurse practitioner. And so I decided I enjoyed the flexibility and creativity of having my own business. And so I left my career in healthcare.
This is one of the things I always love about hearing female-founded stories because so much of it starts with, I became a mom. My time was limited. Yours was extremely limited. You were solo parenting for a while there. And I did something because I was passionate about it. But then I started to realize I can monetize this. I can turn it into something more. But I do think if we rewind a little bit to you getting started and having to Google and really figure this out and YouTube the website, it is not an easy road to become an established influencer where you actually make money off of it. You know, very few get there. I think we see a lot of people with a lot of followers. You're almost at 500,000 now, but you were able to identify ways that you could make money by partners and linking, you know, the outfits and what you were sharing. Was there a time though, because it is a slow build, where you thought this is crazy or nobody understands what I'm doing or they think that I'm just sharing my outfits every day? It didn't feel like it could be something worthwhile that you could truly leave your role as an NP.
Absolutely. And it's funny because my mother-in-law, who if you've ever seen her on my Instagram story, she's the most adorable human, was always telling me like, I just know it. I just know you're going to make it big. You have this star quality. And I would be like, okay, but like, I'm just going to keep going because I don't want to quit. But yeah, so I had good cheerleaders. You know, there's obstacles all along the way, but it's like you pay for a lesson or you pay for a blessing. So just taking all the mishaps along the way and turning them into learning episodes.
I love that. How did you ramp up getting comfortable sharing more and more of your life and behind the scenes? Because that truly is what makes an influencer relatable. It's what builds their following. It makes us feel like we know you even when we've never met you. How did you get to the turning point where you said, I'm building momentum here. This is something that I need to be on pretty much full time. I need to be posting content daily and then build a strategy around it so it made the most sense.
So when I first started, it's wild how much Instagram has changed. It was all static photos. They didn't even have Instagram stories. So I think that putting yourself out there was so much about the caption back then. Then it became stories. Now they've transitioned so much into reels. It's really changed along the way. Even the way I make affiliate income has changed so much. When I first started with Like to Know It, you could like a photo and it would email the links directly to your email. So first off, you have to be just ready to always be pivoting. Technology is changing things so quickly. But I was able to, within the first couple of years, replace my husband's income. So then he went down to just one day a week at his family business, mostly just managing the business remotely. And so there was a lot of pressure on me as the breadwinner to just keep putting out content, keep bringing in income.
So let's talk more about that, because this is a conversation I've been having a lot lately with the business owners that we work with, founders within the network, is we are at a point in business where evolution is happening so quickly. I mean, what worked last year from a social media perspective or marketing or digital or from a technology standpoint, it's moving quickly. It's moving twice as quickly if that is your entire business model, is being online and really relying on social media and building your email list. So how are you able to stay nimble, to pivot, like you said, stay ahead of the curve and really be involved so you know what's happening and you can move quickly in order to align and continue these partnerships with all the brands you work with?
Yeah, so I think understanding that social media, their goal is to keep a user on the platform. So that's why they favor video as opposed to a static image, is somebody's watching a video longer than they're just scrolling by a photo. So they make money the longer they keep someone on the app. So you're really always trying to engage people. When I open my Instagram app, I'm always looking at what is Instagram serving me as a user first, because that's a good clue. And, you know, I follow over 1,000 people. So if it's pushing stories to the front of my page that are people that I've really just not engaged with or am really particularly interested in, I'll click on it because I'm like, why all of a sudden are they putting this person in my face? Or I see like all of a sudden recently they have started putting carousels on the feed again, whereas for a while it was like you could get nothing but reels. I look at all my reels in terms of, are shorter reels doing better? Are voiceovers doing better? Is there a particular type of content that's doing better? So you have to just always be analyzing your own page and what social media is serving up to you. I really focus most heavily on Instagram, especially with Pinteresting plans. My age group is most active on Instagram, but I am inconsistent with TikTok. It just doesn't feel like my audience.
It's important, right? It's like lean in where you're going to see the highest return versus trying to be on every single platform doing something well versus doing one really great. So let's talk about this business model, because I obviously am connected to quite a few influencers, and it's a business model that always intrigues me because I feel like it's very misunderstood in that people think you just wake up in the morning, you post your outfit, you post some things from your house. There is so much strategy that goes into this, and there's a lot of team behind the scenes helping you. So help us and our listeners understand, because where I'm going to go after this is from a lot of our listeners own businesses, some of them product or service based, and they're looking to partner with influencers. So I think it's helpful to understand what goes on behind the scenes of your business running this account.
So I have six people who work with me on my team. So when people offer me a gift card to do something, I'm always like, I can't pay my team in gift cards. So I'm sorry. So I always just recommend, first of all, hiring before you're ready, because it will just re-energize you to do the things that you're good at for making the money in your business and offload the things that you don't like or aren't good at. So like, I am not good at graphic. We do quite a few collages as part of our business and affiliate strategy, and that's just not how my brain works visually. So I have people creating collages. I have people putting stuff on my actual website. I don't enjoy resizing, renaming, uploading files, any of that. I like the writing of a blog post, and then it's like, I don't want to have really anything else to do with it actually going on. I have somebody who does Pinterest for me. I have somebody who posts to Facebook with me. My right-hand girl will sometimes help me with DMs if I get behind, which is pretty often. So
I can imagine the DM situation.
Well, and now with DM automation, it's like I've kind of thrown my hands up a little bit. Like, geez, for 8 years or whatever, I was so good. And at this point with DM automation, it throws an extra few thousand in a day. And I'm just like, at some point for my own sanity, I might miss your DM.
Yes. I mean, I do not have a huge following. And sometimes we'll post something and there'll be, I don't know, 15 to 20 DMs. And I'm like, nope, not today.
I know. I was just on, because I mixed up our call platform. And so I was looking and I was like, oh, it will say in your unread DMs, it's caps it at 20 and just says 20 plus. And I was like, ooh.
So let's talk about brands who are listening that maybe have tried influencer marketing. Maybe they're thinking about for 2024, 2025, investing in this. What are some of the things that they should be thinking about? What makes a good partnership? What are you looking for as an influencer when you work with a brand?
So you want to look for people who are followed by your ideal customer. So ask your ideal customer, who do they enjoy following on Instagram? Who are they influenced by? So that would be my biggest in terms of who do you want to target if you're a business owner? You want to ask your customers who they like following. And then at my size of influence, I have a talent agency that I work with. So I have a manager who negotiates all my contracts. So you would really go in with them. You want it to be an authentic partnership. So a lot of times if it's like a product-based item, I'll say, send it to me. Let me try it. If I like the product, then I will talk about a partnership. But I don't want to accept an offer for payment and then I don't like the product, because, you know, you will lose your credibility very quickly as an influencer doing that.
And I think we've all, as those who swipe up on everything and a lot of money following influencers, but it's true. I immediately know when there's an influencer who just is selling. One day it's all organic and then the next day it's like that's gone out the window, and they're just, you can tell if it's something that makes sense that they're selling or they're just willing to sell anything. So I do think it's so important. And that's the other thing that we, when we work with our clients on a marketing strategy, is they may have 25,000 followers, but they might have 25,000 of your right followers versus somebody that's 200,000 that's all male and has nothing to do with your business model.
Exactly. And I think some things to kind of look out for is, like you said, people with a lot of male followers. So like people who show a lot of women who show a lot of bathing suits or provocative clothing, a big percent of their followers will be non-buying in the fashion space, for instance. And for me, as a fashion and home decor influencer, you confirm my Instagram following with my like to know it following. So that's where I'm usually driving people to make purchases. So the fact that I have 400,000 followers in that platform confirms that, you know, these are authentic, engaged followers on Instagram as well. I mean, right now, I feel like the majority of content that's being pushed out is reels, and it's really easy to just go in and peek at someone's reel views. You know, are they actually getting in front of this audience that they have, or is it kind of an audience that's ghosted them for various reasons?
So true. Okay. So we talked about 8 years ago, you were practically single mom in it to help support your husband through a difficult time. You had this idea that you were just going to be able to have this creative outlet. If somebody would have said 8 years ago, this is going to be your life in 2024, what would you have said?
I would not have believed it. I lived in Connecticut when I started and I had lived there my whole life. Now I live at the beach in Florida. I would never, ever have thought this would be the direction I took. Growing up in Connecticut, I didn't really know a lot of entrepreneurs. So it was a total shift for me. And now being where I am in Florida, especially after 2020, when people were like, hey, if I can work remote, I'm going to go live where I want to live. It is so entrepreneurial where I am now in comparison to where I grew up. And I love it. It's so much more energizing to me being here. And the weather's amazing. And we're in real estate. And I love the architecture and coastal style. So it feels very aligned. But I would not have seen that coming.
Right. I think I try to remind people all the time. I get a lot of people that reach out to me that are new in entrepreneurship, or, you know, they're kind of in that real struggle phase of, you know, getting it to a million. And I'm like, these stories, the stories that we talk about on this podcast, or the stories that you hear when you're involved in networks of other entrepreneurs, it's all the same. None of us would have said, yes, we're absolutely going to be there. There was a piece of us that thought that would be nice. And I have this big audacious goal, but it always turns out to be so much better than we expected when you don't give up.
And take so many unexpected turns along the way.
So many. When people tell me that they've developed their 5-year business plan, I'm like, good for you. That's so great. I would throw that in the fireplace, because chances are if you wrote it in 2019, you for sure didn't see COVID coming. You sure didn't see, you know, where real estate was going to go, or, you know, economics as a whole. So it's great to have a plan, but I think just being able to pivot, redirect, to be following trends, researching what's happening online, technology is what's going to get you the furthest. So before we jump into the real estate business, I want you to kind of say, in the last 8 years, if we were looking at point A in Connecticut to where you are now down in Florida running these multi-million dollar companies, you've been able to purchase all this real estate, you've retired your husband, you have a team of 6, what would you say are like 1 or 2 factors that you would contribute that success to?
Don't ever lose sight of what you do to make the money that no one else can do. So for me right now, I'm focused on creating the reels, and then I lean on my team for just about everything else, sending out the newsletter, help posting sale alerts on stories. And I think people shy away from hiring help because they feel like it's going to take income away from the business. But that person should make certainly enough money to pay for themselves and then some. But it's like I always say, even if they only paid for themselves, they give you back the energy to do what you're good at. And to me, I'm more of a visionary. I get really bogged down with tasks. So I would just love to pay someone to do all my tasks. And I just want to focus on where we're going in the future.
And it's smart. And I think for those who are listening, wondering how you get somewhere in 8 years, which is pretty quick, I'll be honest with you, like what she's accomplished, especially when you think about when this really started to take off and where she is now, it's 1000% the team. You hear me say it all the time. There's no such thing as a self-made millionaire or self-made $100 million company. It takes the team. It takes believing that the reframe of what is this costing me to what is this going to make me by having this person. Okay, so let's jump into this $10 million real estate portfolio relocation to Florida. If you go to the show notes, but also check out Stay on 30A Instagram page, because I went down the rabbit hole when I first was introduced to Rachel, and her design aesthetic is like my dream and something I am not good at. But talk about how this came about, because you really were leveraging a tax strategy that has now turned into an entire company.
Yeah. So we, as an influencer, and it was mostly a personal brand, my business was so cash heavy. The influencers that I went on to meet, a lot of them were reinvesting the profit of their business in growing and scaling with the plan to exit it for a big lump sum down the road. Whereas I was coming into all this cash and moving from having been a nurse practitioner where I had a W-2 income and I could just kind of close my eyes and not look at what they took out for taxes, to I'm having to write 6-figure checks to the government multiple times a year. And I was like, ugh, this is terrible. So that is how we really started to go heavy on real estate. I've always loved houses. If you just follow my first house, I bought a house when I was 25 and rented out rooms to friends. So that was a beginning real estate investing strategy that I really didn't even pinpoint it as that. But my design has come a long way with a lot of practice and mess ups. But real estate was something that allowed us to keep the wealth in-house as opposed to sending it out in taxes that we will never, ever, ever see again.
And I think that that's also when we talk about the investment into team and people have a hard time, that's a tough pill to swallow. It's always the taxes too, right? A lot of entrepreneurs are used to being in a W-2 position before, you know, leaving a corporate role where they saw the taxes coming out of their check, but it's a whole different ballgame when you have to actually write those checks.
So as an influencer, it was explaining to my following and my fellow influencers who were high income earners, this is why you should invest in real estate. And this is how you can get ahead so much faster and compound your wealth so much quicker. One being, like, I just have a friend that I was with who's an influencer. She makes double or triple what I do in terms of gross revenue as an influencer. But when you look at what we're actually keeping, it's the same because she is paying so much in taxes. So I've brought her under my wing and she just purchased a home. So anyway, that was a big part of sending people to, at first it was my husband got his real estate license to do our own deals and, you know, just capture that commission. But then people were like, well, no, we want to work with you. We don't want you to refer us to another agent. We see what you're doing and we want to do that. So he is a full-time real estate agent. He runs the sales business because we were investors before we were real estate agents. So a lot of times it's the other way around. And I always say, like, we're putting our money on the line before you have to. Like, we're doing proving concepts, proving neighborhoods, proving areas. We've utilized all these tax strategies, different loan options. So we can really coach people through the sales process in a much different way than traditional agents.
So how does that process work? If somebody's listening and they are thinking, this is me and I don't know where to start, do you have a program? Do people reach out to you guys and you present them with like current opportunities? Because I know we're going to have a few listeners that are thinking, I want to get involved in this.
Absolutely. So yes, people have asked us over and over to do a program. And I just haven't felt like we have the bandwidth. So at some point, I'm sure we will hire somebody to help us build that out. We provide a ton of free education on our Instagram page. The short-term rental loophole is really our biggest strategy. So it allows people to use something called bonus depreciation. So taking a huge, usually six-figure tax deduction up front, year one, when you purchase a property. We have since even added a property management company that is focused on serving these high income earners to help them utilize a property manager with being able to take the same tax benefits, the bonus depreciation. So we have really set it up so that people can be very hands off or hands on if they want to. I mean, it's a great strategy for people who are influencers or people who are coaches and they do in-person events because you can promote the house where you can use it for your own event. It's at one of the most beautiful beaches in the world.
It really is. I encourage everybody to go check out these houses. So you've accomplished in the last 8 years, it takes honestly some people 20 to 30 years to accomplish. What are you and your husband and you and your team have your eye on in the next 5 years? Or how do you think the influencer market will shift or change? And how do you prepare for that?
Well, that's two questions. What I have my eyes on right now is we started a school. So actually this week I decided I had given in a lot of my money, but right now I'm actually working in the school full time. In addition to all the other things I'm doing, because I feel very strongly about shifting my kids out of public education. So there wasn't a good option here. So that has been something that we created and is needing a little more of our attention at the moment. Where do I think the influencer business is going? It is growing. I think back, like, we're the modern day TV commercial. People stream television shows and honestly just don't even watch as much TV because they're scrolling their phones. So influencers are a way to authentically show products, services, whatever your business offers. They are a way to connect with your ideal audience through a nice, normal, authentic person. It's not a celebrity. So I think the influencer market is going to keep growing and growing and growing.
I agree. And I think that you can tell now there's a line in the sand, a separation for the average user like myself, who sees that there are some of you that do it incredibly well and are so relatable. And we enjoy following you and we enjoy the products and we like learning about things that I would never know about. I'm a sucker for all the Amazon stuff. Like, I'm not good on Amazon and randomly Google this stuff. But when an influencer posts the most random gadget, I'm like, I never even knew that was a thing, but I guess I should buy it. And so I do. I think we just feel like we get to know these influencers and we trust that they've vetted these products and it makes the sale easy.
For sure. I mean, I think even like with outfits or home ideas, it's just nice. Like, we used to go through paper product catalogs to look at outfits and it's like, hey, now I follow somebody who has my same body type and I like her style. So it streamlines it for the user, in my opinion, as well. And there's influencers in every space. I mean, we're real estate influencers now as well. So whatever you're interested in, you can become or good at, you can become an influencer in that space or influential.
Yes. As we wrap up, what are the top three pieces of business advice you've received over the last 8 years or you found out on your own that you could share with listeners?
You do not have to pay taxes. I mean, you have to pay taxes. There's a tons of taxes. You know, I have property taxes, car taxes. I pay a lot of taxes. I don't pay state income tax because I moved to Florida, and I don't pay federal income tax because I strategize real estate purchases to avoid that. So that has kept so much of my income in my own generational wealth building. I mean, we just learned it along the way, but I'm always trying to like scream from the hills. Like, you don't have to pay as much in taxes. You have to just get strategic. Business advice, you know, your network is so important. You're an average of the five people you hang around with. So you want to hang out with people who are trying new things, trying to grow into personal development, not afraid to take a risk. I think most of my success has just been that I'm willing to throw a lot of darts to see which ones stick. I'm constantly collaborating with my right-hand girl on Pinterest plans about like, well, let's just try this. If it doesn't work, we stop it. But let's try this. Let's try this. Let's try this. And thankfully, she's willing to put up with me because I'm always like, idea.
And I mean, that's what a true visionary is. And so most of us should not be in the role of operations or marketing, or like, we want to come up with the big ideas and then have the team to execute them.
Absolutely. I am energized by ideas, not by carrying out tasks.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on today's episode. And where can our listeners find you on social media and your website?
Yeah, I'm actually just getting ready to have a new website unveiling, but one of my team members is working on it, so I don't know the exact date. But yeah, Pinteresting Plans is my fashion and home decor influencer business. And then Stay on 30A is our real estate sales, and Stays on 30A is our property management.
Amazing. Well, thank you, Rachel.
Thank you. It was so nice to talk.
Thank you for joining me today, and I hope you gained as much inspiration from this episode as I did. If you loved what you heard, don't forget to subscribe for more insider tips and leave a review to tell me your takeaways from this episode.